starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning Friday, October 27th, 2006, this is the Rain Report, available as a podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. This week we have a potpourri for you, consisting of not one but two guest commentaries, a rarity for Rain. The first deals with the subject of dumbing down amateur radio, the other about inactive repeaters and what to do about them. Here's the first, entitled Dumbing Down. Dumbing Down by John Ogden, NA9D. It's a heated topic. What does the league do to inspire people to come into our great hobby? How do we market ourselves? Are we the kids on the block with the nice treehouse that don't let the other kids, whose toys aren't as nice as ours, come in? Let me state that I've traditionally been all for having CW exams as a requirement for HF privileges, but I had to stop and ask myself, why? Does knowing CW make one a better operator? Yes, it can. However, in phone sweepstakes this year, I got into a row with some pig farmers on 80 meters. They started jamming me and giving me all sorts of hassle. What was odd was that these guys had to learn CW to get those 80-meter privileges. Then I was working a DX pileup on CW once. Gee, someone using CW started jamming the DX station. They would call on top of him and not listen to da-di-da. It's funny, these are bad operators, and not only did they learn CW, they were trying to use it. Then I operated in a VHF-UHF contest with a friend who really doesn't know code. Found him to be one of the best operators I know of. I worked a number of stations in the contest that were no-code licensees. They were all great. I never had a pig farmer jam me on VHF. Then I moved up to satellites. Wow, worked people all over the world, many of whom don't know CW. Found satellite ops to be some of the most courteous and pleasant around. The fact is, I have learned, knowing or not knowing CW has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of ham radio operator. What has everything to do with the quality of the operation of a new ham is how he or she is elmered. How do we, as hams, train them and bring them into the hobby and get them active? Since knowing CW has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of one's skills, let's face it, if it did, there'd be no lids on HF right now, then why must we test for it? This whole story is what has changed my mind. It has no bearing on the quality of operator. Rather, those of us who know the code are like the kids in the treehouse who won't let the kid without the shiny red fire truck come and play. The people who insist on code are equivalent to a buggy whip dealer 100 years ago insisting a law be passed that required everyone who purchased an automobile to also buy a buggy whip. Are buggy whips still used today? Yup, they sure are in some instances, but I don't need one to get to work every day. So it is with the code. It's a mode of operation, and that is it. There is nothing magical to it other than, for many of us, it was a rite of passage, and we refuse to allow anyone else to join our hobby unless they go through that same rite. I can tell you it was that for me, but yet it's always the case. I took my novice test administered by a friend. I've upgraded since through VECs, and I upgraded to extra by passing all the tests. I've never been to an FCC office. Those who had to go to the FCC office to take their novice or other exams would probably look down on me. After all, I got to have a buddy administer my test. They had a cold bureaucrat give theirs. This debate of modes is as old as our hobby itself. The sparks probably got ticked at this new CW mode. I know that the old-time AMers looked down on SSB, and some of the crusty old ones still do, but one's choice of operating mode has nothing to do with one's skill as a ham operator. Knowing CW does not say you would know how to pass emergency traffic, work in a tornado recovery shelter, run a net, etc. How many of us contesters could really do all the things that give our hobby its public service fulfillment? If you want to complain that the FCC tests are too easy and dumbed down, that's fine. But don't say that just because the testing for CW is going to be eliminated for all but extra class. The facts just don't match the data. I'd agree that the testing should be more practical and more in-depth. Our hobby should need some learning and some studying. After all, we have been granted a huge privilege and a huge responsibility. The facts are, we need more operators. If we had 20 million active hams in this country, things like BPL, etc., wouldn't happen. We need more numbers, period. Eliminating CW will remove a big psychological barrier for a lot of people. It doesn't mean that they are any less or any worse an operator. They will only be bad if we don't instruct them and guide them. You know something? If our hobby dumbs down, it is our fault. Let's not blame the FCC or the league or anyone else but ourselves. If the tests are too easy, there might not be much we can do, but we can take that new ham and teach them how to solder, teach them what a trap is. We can show them how to build a grounded grid amplifier. We can help them solder a PL259 and make an emergency dipole. We can help them break a pileup and show them proper courtesy on the air. We don't need CW to do any of this. All we do need is to let go of a little of our pride and help the new kid on the block. If we do this, then we won't have to worry about the bad operator or demise of our hobby. 73 from John, NA9D, formerly KE9NA, ARRL life member. As seen on the SMC, Society of Midwest Contesters, email reflector. Thanks to Todd Benson, W9YK, for passing this item along. We're going to bring you a guest commentary that's a bit more positive in a moment, written and voiced by Patrick Tice, WA0TDA, the man behind Handy Hams. It's entitled Dota. This is the Rain Report, heard Saturday evenings from the Rockies to the Eastern Seaboard and from Canada to the Caribbean on 1860 kHz via the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter from Wentzville, Missouri.
You are listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I've noticed that there isn't much activity on my local repeater. Perhaps I'm just not listening at the right times, but I've sampled the repeater throughout the day on different days of the week, and aside from some scheduled net activity, users seem to be maintaining radio silence. I don't think this is just true of my local repeater either. Some repeaters have always been more active than others, but the overall activity level just seems to me to be down over the past few months. Every experienced ham radio operator knows that there is an ebb and flow in ham radio interest and activity, sometimes corresponding with the season here in North America. During the winter, we are likely to be challenged by difficult driving conditions that may spur an increase in repeater activity during commuter drive time. And ham radio is seen by some as a wintertime activity. So, repeater activity can pick up simply because people are stuck indoors. There's a daily rhythm to the use of a typical repeater as well, with a long-time user sometime appearing at the same time of the day for a short exchange. But, getting back to my repeater, there are long silent stretches of dead air throughout most of the day. I know there are people out there either listening, at home, or in their vehicles, but the repeater is still going unused. So, what to do? I decided that I'm going to try an experiment. I call it the DOTA, D-O-T-A, or Daily on the Air. That way, it rhymes with GOTA, which during field day stands for Get on the Air. With DOTA, I simply resolve to have a contact on my local repeater every single day. It doesn't have to be long, nor does it have to be at any particular time. It could be with a person I already know, or it could be a random contact with a person I have never met on the air. If I don't hear anyone, I will just say WA0TDA listening, and see if I can shake someone loose. My DOTA plan went into effect this morning, and not hearing anyone on the repeater, I made a short call. Immediately, another member of my radio club answered, and we had a short conversation. He told me about his new transceiver and how he was planning to earn his HF privileges. During the rest of the day, I think it might be a good idea to listen to the repeater and see if I hear anyone calling. My QTH is only about a mile south of Interstate Highway 94, and I may be able to hear stations new to the area as they operate in Mobile and check out the Twin Cities repeaters. After all, if I were driving someplace and wanted to have a QSO, I would want someone to answer me if I made a call on their repeater system. My theory is that activity builds more activity. When a repeater is perceived by the local ham community as one that is reasonably active, it is more likely to get used. Try DOTA yourself. DOTA, daily, on the air, and let me know if it works for you.
The voice and thoughts of Patrick Tice, WA0TDA, the man behind Handy Hams. You'll find contact information for Patrick and Handy Hams on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. That's a wrap for this unusual edition of The Rain Reports. Opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect anyone connected with Rain or any ham station transmitting this program service. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2006, Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for the hardworking founder-producer of Rain, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm the not-so-hardworking Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.